This is Nation Radio with Alan Mitchell, a.k.a. Low Tide. Brought to you by The Pint, Oodle Noodle, and OilersNation.com.
Only on Edmonton Sports Radio.
Team 1260.
You can email us at nationradio at theteam1260.com. Plus, we're on Twitter at It's Nation Radio. Oilers play tonight at home, 6 o'clock. It's streamed on the Oilers website as well against the Calgary Flames. Nugent Hopkins and Taylor Hall together on a line tonight. And that big Russian kid, Tulipov, will play in a pairing with Cam Barker. So lots of interesting things going on tonight. And you know what else is happening this weekend? I was just reading Corey Graham in his Twitter. He's done the final tune-up for the Oil Kings at Rexall before the opener tomorrow in Red Deer. So he's working hard, and that means that Ken Simpson will soon be on the radio, color commentator for the Oil Kings, and he's gracious enough to drop by and spend some time with us today. First, can you give me a one-minute review of the Pearl Jam concert?
It was pretty darn good, Al.
Yeah,
I'll tell you that. Yeah, the boys, they worked hard out there. It was about 2.5 hours, I'd say. Eddie Vedder was digging in, pulling out all the old classics, and he had a great line at the end. They were just spent. You could tell the five of them had been pretty much laid it all on the line, and he was like, it feels like we just won the cup. So it was kind of funny.
So,
and, you know, that actually reminded me of a funny story. It might have been Nickelback or something, but a couple of NHL guys were in they went backstage after a Nickelback concert, and you know, the NHL players were like, oh, man, I've always wanted to be a rock star. And, you know, the Nickelback guys, oh, we always wanted to be NHL players, and the only thing is we win every night. You know, that's the life of a rock star. You never lose.
It's good. That's the wrong. Did they do better, man?
They did do better, man. That was actually probably the song of the night. So.
Oh, that's awesome. Still an awesome record. Well,
pretty good stuff.
You know, that's my extent of knowledge about Pearl Jam. I don't want to embarrass
I'm
my...
impressed.
Well, hey,
you had a nice time at the Wayne Gretzky Gala.
That was my next question for you. It was a great time, except for you trying to steal my steak. I enjoyed everything about it.
That was a good steak you had.
Oh, man, it was good.
And, what a fabulous event. You know, congratulations to everyone who put that on, but... just wonderful.
Yeah, it was. I felt that the highlights were the Ryan Smith, you know, acknowledgement and him coming up on stage. I thought the stories, Chaser's brother is hilarious. That the wit runs in the family, but only a few, I guess.
Exactly. I really liked Kelly Chase's stories. And you know what? That's what's exciting for the, you know, a lot of the people that go to an event like that. You know, they want to hear something that they haven't heard before. You know, they want to see, obviously, you know, Wayne and Ryan and you know, obviously Kelly Chase. You know, these guys in a little bit out of their element. You know, and maybe watch them squirm a little bit up there. It's kind of fun to watch that. So yeah, I thought Chaser was great. He did a wonderful job.
Yeah, he did. I'm glad Brett Hull wasn't in the building though. He took a few shots, and Dave Lumley too. It was a great time. It was really enjoyable.
Yeah.
Let's get to the subject at hand, which is the Edmonton Oil Kings. I was driving in listening to Guy Flaming, and he picked them to win their division this year. And I think Ryan Nugent Hopkins, you know, staying in Edmonton might have something to do with that. But how realistic is that? Could they win their division with this team?
They certainly could. Guy Flaming knows what he's talking about, I'll tell you that. I mean, you know, this is year five. This is certainly the most promising year to date for this club. And all signs right now are certainly pointing in a positive direction for this team to make a run at the you know, the East Division title.
A lot of this has to do with injury, and as I mentioned, Nugent Hopkins. We heard that Keegan Lowe is back, but apparently he's got a broken hand or broken finger, something that happened right at the end of the Carolina training camp. How does that impact the defensive depth?
Yeah, you know what? I just found that out this morning, so I wasn't aware of that. I knew he was on his way back from Carolina. And quickly, before we talk about his injury, I heard he performed very well down there.
Yeah.
So, you know, that's a great thing, and I'm sure he was coming back with it. You know, just a terrific frame of mind, you know, ready to take that over into his WHL season. So, you know, I guess it just kind of remains to be seen how long he's going to be out and how bad that break actually is. You know, a lot of times you tape it up or you get a splint in there. As long as you can fit it in your glove, sometimes you can play through it, but obviously your passing, your shooting, maybe your physical play is going to be affected. So, you know, in terms of maybe just the way that the D pairings were going to, you know, start out, obviously Lowe and Mark Pesek were such a terrific tandem last year. That might just take a little bit longer for those two guys to get together. But the one thing that I think is, you know, one of the reasons why the Oil Kings are going to be good this year is they've got more depth than they ever have, and that certainly is true on the back end.
One of the things that I keep coming back to for them is offense from the forwards. They've got a couple of injuries to deal with. Who can we expect to be the offensive nucleus of the Oil Kings from the forward position this year?
Well, there's no question. I mean, there's two guys, Dylan Ruck and Michael St. Croix, that were, over a point a game last year. They're going to be looked upon heavily this year, and I'm sure both those guys are probably going to have sights on triple digits in terms of scoring this year if they can stay healthy. 78 and 75 points respectively for the two of them last year. So those guys will be the catalyst for sure. The one guy that I'm really interested to watching this year, Al, is Josh Lazowski. And I don't know if you recall, but he actually played about 30 games last year, had 28 points, and then he had season-ending shoulder surgery. And this was a kid as a 19-year-old stepped in and I think kind of was stepped up above and beyond the way that a lot of the expectations were. And, if he's back healthy and he's looked pretty good in the preseason, this is a guy that I think could fit in there and, easily be a point-of-game guy for the Oil Kings this season too.
Okay. They start on tomorrow on the road, and I was going to ask you this question because you've got a lot of experience playing hockey at all levels. They're on the road quite a bit to start the season. Is that a good fit for a team at the beginning of the year, a chance to gel and bond on the road and maybe get to know each other a little better?
I think so. And, we hear this every year with whatever team it is. And, I think even the Oilers at some point in their preseason are going to head away for a few days. And, you really can't put enough emphasis on that team bonding, the gelling. A lot of these guys have played together for two or three years, so they know each other. But, of course, there's new guys, 16-year-old players that have never been in the league, and they don't really know the workings of a WHL team yet. So if you can get them on the bus, if you can get them overnight in a hotel, anything like that where maybe it just gives opportunity for these kids to learn a little bit more about each other. I mean, hopefully by now they've got that chemistry on the ice. But, there's so much more to that, obviously, than being a team. And it's getting away from the rink, and whether it's going for dinner or going to a movie on a night out or something like that. So, yeah, it's quite an interesting schedule the Oil Kings have where, I think you said two of the first nine games, I think, are at home, the rest on the road. So, if you get off to a good start, that's the big caveat out of all this, right? I mean, it's great to start on the road, but you got to get some wins in there. And it doesn't really matter how much you've gelled over the course of that time if you find yourself two or three games below 500.
Before we get, I'm going to ask you a couple of questions about the Oilers, but I wanted to touch base. We talked about this previously, the 2012 draft and defenseman from the WHL. Bob McKenzie released his list this week. There are four WHL defensemen in the top 10, and none of those is Griffin Reinhard, who could go in the top 10. He's an outstanding young talent. This has got to be historic depth as far as great WHL defensemen are concerned.
Incredible, isn't it? And, the guy for me leading the way didn't take long to get started. That's, of course, Matthew Dumba down in Red Deer. He got a goal last night. I just love what this guy's all about. But, of course, Murray and Morgan Riley, and then, not even on the list, Griffin Reinhard. And I think the thing with Griffin is, of course he got injured last year. And before he got injured, man, the turn of the schedule after Christmas, this was a guy that figured it out. And, I know Corey Graham and myself were like, geez, as a 16-year-old, he's already figured out how to play this league, use his size, and all those sorts of things. And then, unfortunately, he got injured, and that was it for the rest of the season. He was able to play for Canada at the World Under-17s, but I just don't know if he was in quite the shape that he probably would have wanted to be in there. And that tournament there may have hindered, where we see him ranked. But I don't think it'll be very long at all before we see him move into first-round talk, for sure.
Okay, I've got an email question from Brad. When you talk to Ken Simpson, could you ask him if he thinks Murray is NHL ready yet next season? Some scouts have suggested it and compared him to a Niedermeyer or Lidstrom. Is that a good comparison? Is this a guy who could step right in a year from now?
All signs are pointing that way. I got to be honest, because he's in the West Division, we just don't see him a heck of a lot out here. So I've only seen him play a couple times in person. Obviously, I've talked to several people that have seen him play a lot more than I have. They love this kid's poise, obviously, the way he skates, the way he sees the game. And, so many things can happen when you get into an NHL training camp. If he comes and does all those things and proves to the coaching staff that, geez, this is a guy that fits in. And I mean, think of a guy like Cam Fowler with the Anaheim Ducks last year. You know, halfway through the season in his draft year, you know, he was kind of a 1-2-3 guy, and I think he ended up falling down to double the digits. I can't remember exactly what place he went, but he, you know, perfectly filled that void for the Anaheim Mighty Ducks, and, you know, he excelled there. So, you know, I think a lot of it depends on the team that takes them and if there's an immediate need for the type of defenseman that Murray is.
Okay. It's 1:40. We're in conversation with Ken Simpson, Oil King caller commentator, and getting ready for the season. Going to switch gears here and ask you an NHL question. The National Hockey League often gets, you know, a lot of, you know, negative publicity for what they do wrong or perceived to do wrong. I think they hit a home run this week with a Brendan Shanahan video review of suspensions. What do you think of that? Do you think that's a great tool to use for fans and to educate exactly why decisions are made?
Loved it. Absolutely loved it. And I got to tell you, I didn't know that that was going to be what they were going to do. The first time I saw it, I think it was on TSN, and they showed the clip of it. But, you know, as fans and obviously media, we're always critiquing these decisions. Well, here Brendan Shanahan is basically saying to everyone, hey, we're going to be as transparent as possible. We're going to show you what made these decisions, what went into our thinking here, why the players getting this many games. So not only is it great for obviously the media, the fans, but the rest of the players in the league. Now there's no guessing. Everyone saw what Jody Shelley did. Shanahan says, okay, well, he's a repeat offender. We've seen what he's done before. He's had he had a similar hit from behind last year, and so he's been suspended before. You know, the player Boyce in this respect had his back to him the whole way, didn't turn at any last second. Shelley saw that. Shelley had more than enough time to make a decision to let up on it, and he didn't. And that's what, obviously was the 5 preseason, the 5 regular season games. So, you know, now everyone knows there's no guessing game. You know, it's not like, oh, well, why is Shanahan thinking this way? Why is he not? And not only that, if we see that exact same hit in the regular season, but it's not a player that's a repeat offender, and Shanahan gives him 3 games or 4 games, well, that's what he can say. You know, yeah. This is the first time this guy's done that. This is a similar hit that we've seen before, but, you know, this is not, you know, how he normally plays.
Yeah.
So, you know, I think that's just a great move by the NHL. And like I said, it's all about being transparent and being honest.
Now we're going to ask you an Oiler question about Ryan Whitney. Here's a guy, you know, the preseason is so long. Like, we were 2 weeks away from the rookie camp, and now we've got another, you know, 20 days before opening night. But an article that Jim Matheson wrote, I think on Friday morning, had Ryan Whitney very frustrated because he tweaked the injury that he had just before training camp. Now he's back on the ice, and he's experiencing a lot of pain. My experience with hockey players is that they have a high pain threshold. How difficult would it be for him to come to grips with the fact that he may not be ready for opening night after all this time? And number two, how much pain has he to be in order to not, you know, consider playing in a preseason game?
Well, yeah, I saw the article you're talking about. I think, what wasn't it, 10 out of 10 on the frustration level?
Yeah.
And, I mean, you can certainly feel for him. I mean, here's a guy that, you know, missed practically 3/4 of the season last year, and you know, you can just, you know, you get into his mind, you think, geez, how frustrated was he was last year. Well, then, you know, the season ends, the Oilers don't make the playoffs, and now it's all about focusing for next year. That's your whole goal. So, literally, I mean, it's been almost, you know, let's see, 8, 9, 10 months that he's been, you know, having, you know, October 9th circled on his schedule, that's the day he wants to be back. He wants to be 100% and ready to go. And with a few of these setbacks along the way, I mean, you can totally feel for the guy. In terms of the actual pain, I mean, you know, one of my clients was on the station earlier for Pros in the Know, and we touched base briefly about his ankle. And, you know, if it's something where, you know, if he's trying to turn, you know, one way or the other, and I think in this regards, it's kind of when he pivots to the right side and it's kind of shooting pain. I mean, if that's going to inhibit his way to play, I don't think it really matters how much it hurts. It's, you know, basically inhibiting his foot speed, how effective he's going to be out there. So, I mean, in that sense, I mean, I guess you got to applaud the guy that he, you know, he's saying, if I'm not going to be at my 100% and I'm not going to be able to help the team, we got to be able to wait here. But, you know, let's be honest, that's a guy that the Oilers need in the lineup. And, you know, maybe opening day's, you know, too far away now, but hopefully soon thereafter.
That's my final question. I'm going to ask you one more after that. But how difficult is it for a long training camp for a veteran player? You know, you're ready when you arrive at camp physically. You know, you've done all the conditioning, and now, you know, you play a game and then another game and another game, and you're still 3 weeks away from being, you know, in the NHL playing a regular season game. It must just be very laborious for these guys.
You know what? I think it is. I mean, you're never going to hear someone say that. It's all about the process, and it's all about getting the chemistry with your players and your new teammates and getting to know them and figure out who you're going to be your line mates are. But yeah, I mean, certainly, I mean, you think about it, it's practically a month long. These guys are in, tip-top shape when they get to camp in the first place. So, a lot of talk has been going on lately of, it's really not training camp anymore. I mean, these guys are in great shape. More or less, it's, allowing the coaches to do some evaluating, pare down their roster, figure out who's going to play with who. But, you think of some of these veterans, Smith, Horkoff, I read Hemsky's quote in the paper today. Well, he says, I usually only play three games out of the preseason anyway. Mm-hmm. So there's a lot of downtime. There's a lot of, going to the morning practice. And, if there's a game that night and you're not playing, you might get on the bike after. You might do, some weights and do a little bit of extra work. But, you can bet that these guys' whole goal is to get to the season. That's what they want. They want to play hockey, and enough of the practices already.
Yeah, for sure. You know what, Kent? I really appreciate this because I know you were partying with Eddie Vedder till about whatever in the morning, and you rolled out of bed to do this. I really appreciate it, man.
Well, I know. It must have been at least 6 in the morning. He invited me to go down to Vancouver with him, but I figured, well, Al's calling me today. I couldn't dare do that. So
taking one for the team.
Yeah,
that's Kent
just
Simpson.
Just for you, buddy.
All right. Hey, thanks, Kent.
Take care.
Okay, boy. That's Kent Simpson doing color commentator for the Oil Kings again this year. You know what? The season's right around the corner. They start tomorrow night. Of course, Corey will have that action for you right here on Team 1260 from Red Deer against the Rebels. It begins. Man, I love hockey. And it's Saturday night, and there's Hockey Night in Canada, and the Oilers online, and we'll talk all about that right after this.